It has come to our attention that a mysterious force is loose somewhere in outer space.
The mysteries of creation are there.
Up in the sky?
Up in the sky.
The moon and the planets are there. And new hopes for knowledge and peace are there. And therefore, as we set sail, we ask God's blessing on the most hazardous and dangerous and greatest adventure of which man has ever embarked.
Hello, guys, and welcome to episode 60. That's the big 60. So, this is your boy. Hey, listen, we've been away for a little while. I'm apologizing because we had so many technical difficulties behind the scenes. And at the same time, we're dealing with like real life things. Like me, I'm dealing with a baby being born this month or next month. And John was dealing with some technical difficulties too. And at the same time, you moved to the new place, right, man?
Yeah. That was like last month, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you're fully settled.
I mean, technically, yes, but everything's not all, you know, out of boxes.
All dandy?
But, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, you know, before we begin, this is your boy, Ben. This is the Real Anarchy, Real Emotion podcast. And we are here to bring you the best, the latest, everything that has to do with entertainment, movies and TV shows. And my name is Ben, and with me, as usual, my partner in crime. Say what's up, John.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? I just want to say thank you if you have listened to all 60 episodes that we've had.
Absolutely.
That is awesome. I really appreciate it. Thank you for going through all this stuff. Unfortunately, I had a big, big fucking scare. I've lost my my terabyte hard drive that I have a lot stuff on. All my old film, like everything that I worked on as far as my films and stuff are concerned, that fell. And now I'm going to have to basically extract that information somehow because the disks are okay. I just need to get it from somewhere.
Always,
so that fucked
always
up.
Backup. Always keep a backup, whatever. Man.
Then my computer fucking shuts down. It literally stops working. Doesn't boot, doesn't do any of that. So I tried everything that I could think of. It took a fucking week. A full week to get this thing.
We spent like 2 hours, like good 2 hours last time when we were trying to record.
I know. And just on, hey, what can I do? What, you know, is there anything that I could do with this? And we came to the conclusion that it was pretty much fucked. And it kind of put, you know, it got me down a little bit because I was like, God damn it, dude. Like, you know, I know I put this computer through a bunch of shit, but, you know, come on, man. Like, keep trucking. You know what I mean? But I don't know what happened. I did something and it clicked back on. I have no idea, literally, because I don't know. Anyways, so
those all-in-ones, man. Those all-in-one computers, trust me.
I know, man. It's a motherfucker, but I love it. You know, I don't want to be mean to it yet. Anyways, so if you are tuning in for our 60th episode, I do want to make an announcement, semi-announcement. It's not really that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But to hold off from us having to do all this as far as these long, long podcasts every week, what we're going to do is we're going to do one for the month at the wrap up to wrap up all the news and all that stuff. And we'll possibly be doing it twice. But we're going to work on kind of getting shorter videos out there with more detail, more news information on our real talks, me and Ben going back and forth. And so that's why you'll start seeing a lot more real talks or a lot more, you know, just one-on-ones or solos. So
yes, this is not a breakup by any stretch of the imagination. This is just because, you know, sometimes, like, we had this conversation that sometimes, like, we had to wait a week to put stuff out. And sometimes, like, it comes out, like, the day after we do the show. And then we had to wait another week to speak about it when everybody's already talked about it. So this way it's going to allow us to give you fresh content, what we really think right then when stuff comes out. And we don't have to wait until the end of the week. And you're going to be able to hear it from John. You're going to be able to hear it from me. And then at the end of the month or once or twice a month, we're going to get together and do like a full blown podcast. But this, I think this is going to be good because that way we're going to be more present in your mind, and we're going to be more active and on the channel and in bringing you the latest, everything that we all talking about already on Twitter, this Instagram, any social platform that we on.
Because, I mean, just look what happened last time. So we finished our recording, and I know I don't have the video out.
I know.
Because that's exactly what happened. My video, I was trying to get my video out, and my computer fucked up.
Yeah.
So we have our show out on iTunes and SoundCloud, but we don't have the video up. And so right after we recorded, either way, we see Matt Reeves. He actually tweeted the kind of GIF of Jeffrey Wright confirming he's obviously Gordon.
Right.
But it's
like
just
literally like after we write.
I know. It's like little things like that that we just want to be able to just automatically, because that was last week, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a little thing. And it's funny actually that Reeves does that, because he tweeted out a GIF of each, you know, principal actor or actress that's been cast.
Yeah, anybody that gets cast, he gets a gift and put it out there.
And so what was funny about this is that everybody was like, oh, like, not everybody, there were some people out there that were like, man, but maybe he's not Gordon, maybe J.K. Simmons is still Gordon, you know, and it'll transition and all that.
Back to the Homer Simpson, it's still good, it's still good.
Like, that's it, that flying pig, man. And I don't know. I mean, hey, that's cool. But at least now we have a full on solid deal. So that's great. But speaking of J.K. Simmons and his Gordon, there was a lot of talk this last week about the Snyder Cut. Have you heard about this?
The only thing I know or I heard I saw was Jason Momoa being interviewed on MTV by that dude who interviewed him a couple of months ago, where he said, fuck yeah, I'd like to see the Snyder Cut.
Well, let's start at the beginning, shall we? So during promotion in October, like I think it was October 22nd, Lights, Camera, Barstool, I believe, is the podcast name that started to interview Jesse Eisenberg. And they were talking to him about Zombieland 2, which is, you know, they were doing press, right? So great. That's awesome. Of course they're going to talk about Zombieland 2. But you got to remember, Jesse Eisenberg, he was also in the Snyder Cut, or in Justice League, as Lex Luthor.
NBA,
and so they asked him, they said, hey, do you know about the Snyder Cut? And he was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And why would he? Because he doesn't watch his films. Any film that he's ever in, he doesn't watch them. That's just his. It's his thing. That's cool, dude. Right. There's some actors that don't like watching their stuff. Great.
Yeah, there's like nobody wants to see themselves working. It's their job. I mean, it's a job to some of these people. You know that, right?
Absolutely. Now, I'm probably of the other mindset, but that's just me. Sorry. Anyways, but so they ask him about the Snyder Cut, and he's befuddled. He's just confused. He doesn't know what the fuck they're asking about. And he's like, well, I mean, I guess, yeah, all I know is that I went to Morocco and did some really cool scenes. And there were some other scenes that I shot that weren't in the film. But what's crazy about that is about two weeks before the premiere of Justice League, they actually flew me out and so I could do more reshoots in L.A.
To Monaco, yeah.
No, but they didn't go to Morocco, no. It was in L.A.
On top of the scene where he shot in the yacht in Monaco, they flew him back to California for additional photography.
Yeah, for the green screen of the close up of his head and like right below his chin, where he's like, "Shouldn't we have a league of our own?" So that was, you're missing the entire fucking point, dude. It was 2 weeks before the fucking movie was coming out. They're still doing reshoots. Like, how is that? How did this fucking film come out it did, okay?
So
2 weeks before the film premiered.
You're absolutely right. I completely missed that part.
Yeah, I know you did. I know.
Where it was actually 2 weeks before the movie came out.
2 weeks before the movie came out, they're doing reshoots. Not editing. Wow. They're doing shooting and filming reshoots. That's how unprepared this film was to release.
I mean, are you surprised? Remember the first scene?
I know. I'm not surprised, but at the same time, I'm still shocked that that's, I mean, a fucking $300 million, and that's what they did to the film. Yeah. They did not give a shit.
Nothing shocks me. Everything that could go wrong in Hollywood went wrong with this movie.
Right. So you would think so, right? So it was great to hear Jesse Eisenberg. Don't get me wrong. I loved it. I loved hearing his take, and I'm excited about hearing some potential stuff of, you know, what could come out there. But then literally 2 days later, and we'll get to the HBO Max presentation and all that stuff later. But during the HBO Max, Stephen Colbert, yeah, on Screen Rant or from Screen Rant, wrote out an exclusive where they were interviewing Junkie XL, Tom Holkenborg, for his Terminator Dark Fate score. You know what I mean?
Right.
Speaking of which, have you seen Terminator yet?
No, I haven't.
All right, well, we're going to have to talk about that later on. Anyways.
Yeah, I know that's not, dude. I haven't had time for my...
It's all right. Don't worry about it. But so they were talking to him about the... Basically, the score of the film. And in the middle of that interview, they ask him, hey, you know, we're obsessed with the Snyder Cut. You know, did you finish the score? He says, yes, it's completed. It's done. He wrote the score. Now, for musicians out there that aren't familiar with that, okay? One, let's just go back to what he did, okay? He started working on this whole universe, basically, with Hans Zimmer back in 2013, right? With Man of Steel. Right. Okay, so he already has that Superman theme there. Then he gets invited to actually co-write the score for BVS, which he does a phenomenal job on.
Right.
So that is literally 2012, let's say-ish, 2012, maybe 2011, whatever, to 2016, okay, 5 years of working with Zack Snyder and these characters, he kind of already probably knew the route he was going to go with the group, Justice League. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because when you're making these musical tracks, I mean, you know kind of the flow that you're going to go to. Whether you've even seen a film or not, you kind of have some rhythm, some just melodies, all these things that you're kind of putting in there.
Yeah, something to go cohesively with a story like that you already been part of.
Correct. Yeah, you already know where things are going to lead to. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have to sit there and read the script and know only and watch dailies just to, you know, do things.
Right.
And he already knew that he was going to be the only composer for Justice League. Great. Well, now I know that it was an exclusive interview, and I'm glad that we heard it from Steven. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm excited that we heard it from Tom himself that said, I finished the score. Now, what everybody was thinking was, oh, okay, so it's done. As far as the reason why it's done is because it's to the film. That's not, unfortunately, what he means and what is what that means. Because it's done. He wrote the score out. That's great. He did all the stuff, but he did it all in a digital audio workshop or workspace. Okay. He didn't go out there and record it with a live orchestra. Now I would listen to that score, with anything. I wouldn't care. I would welcome listening to it right now, but it's written out like you normally listen to soundtracks. It's not written out with cues and all of that stuff.
Right.
So we've known about it being done. I mean, I wrote about it in April in my AT&T article where I was like, yeah, the score is done. I mean, he finished his score. He just didn't get to complete it as far as get it onto the Justice League film and record it live. And so that news comes out during HBO Max because, I mean, people were expecting the Snyder Cut to get... announced on HBO Max. Were you?
No, I was not at all. At all. I don't
know. Oh, you mean you were an intelligent human being? Got it.
Yeah, common sense would dictate. But common sense, like, no, I don't think they will wait for
a big event
investors
like
investors meeting to say, hey, by the way, we got this movie that everybody else wants to see.
Yeah, we're gonna show off a product that lost us money.
That lost money, exactly. Right, on an investors meeting, that makes
makes sense. Like, makes sense.
And probably some of those that were there invested in that movie, and, you know, probably you don't want to bring that shit up. Like, hey, by the way, you invested $300 million in this movie. Guess what? We're going to play it. We're going to need to throw some more money so we could put it out there.
I know. But it was... So hearing Tom talk about the score, it was great to hear it. Everybody was thinking, oh, well, it's done. The film's done then, you know? And unfortunately, it's not done like you're thinking it's done. It's just his score is written. It's great, you know? But he said in the interview, we probably won't be able to hear it, or it's not really up to him. So,
yeah. Well,
that's whatever.
Eventually, I think we're going to see it one day.
I have no doubt we'll see it one day. I'm just saying, like, they're, you know, it's not on the film, so I don't know. Like, I almost want to, I'm curious on if we'll even hear it by itself. You know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Yeah, exactly. Which we don't know, you know. He doesn't know. So, but then that was, what, 2 days later, a day later after Jesse Eisenberg. So, okay, great.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Jason Momoa is getting interviewed by Josh Horowitz, who works for MTV News.
Yeah.
And he interviewed him literally almost this time last year. And they were getting ready for Aquaman and whatever. And that was whenever he mentioned, you know, fuck yeah, I want to see the
Yeah, that's when he was doing promotion for Aquaman. That was around, around this time, because that movie came out last November, was it?
December. Come on, dude.
Was it? Damn, this year just went by like nothing.
I know. Dude, we're about to be in a new decade.
I know.
Roaring 20s, baby. I'm excited. But so he's getting interviewed the past couple of days because his new Apple TV show, C, is basically coming out and getting promoted. So they're talking about everything. And then all of a sudden he mentions the Snyder Cut. He's like, hey, so last time, you know, or actually the way they get onto it is they're talking about how he's indebted to Zach for everything that's transpired in his career. And he's like, so I guess that's probably why you're such an advocate for the Snyder Cut.
Mm.
And he's like, yeah, absolutely. You know, of course I want to see it. And let me just ask you this, because I'm going to read it verbatim here. I just want to get your raw thoughts and what you thought of that interview.
Right.
Go ahead. So, well, yeah, I want to hear, what did you think whenever you watched that?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to...
No, I'm going to read it. I just want to get your raw thoughts on...
Well, okay. The first thing that they asked him, which I thought it was pretty slick by the guy interviewing him, was, hey, so you owe Zack Snyder a lot. He's like, yeah, I do owe him a lot. So that kind of pretty much already set him up to back him up. You know what I mean? Like, not to say something negative, and to also encourage whatever his agenda is, which I thought it was like, okay, this guy is a good interviewer. So then after that, he just went on to ask him a couple of questions. And he was very coy about it. He was, you know, like when he said, have you seen it? Like, when he asked him, do you think it's finished? And like, well, you don't think that Zack Snyder wouldn't finish the movie? like, are you doubting this man? This dude can make this happen. Like, so that's kind of telling me that, okay, Zack Snyder did something. Probably he edited it in such a way that it's still his vision. Probably lost some scenes here and there, but still tells the story that he wanted to tell. That's what I gathered from that piece of news. And then when he kept pressing him about it, do you think we're gonna see him anytime soon, or do you think we should get it? And he said, I think we deserve to see it. The fans deserve to see it. Mm-hmm. But he didn't say, yeah, we're gonna see it anytime soon. And then when he pressed him on that, he said, like, next question. So probably.
Oh no, this is what he said.
Mm.
So he had asked him. He said, oh, so you've seen it already? He said, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen the Snyder Cut. Mm. And then the guy goes, all right, so what does that mean? Because the effects aren't done. Like, you've just seen this assemblage of footage and alternate takes, et cetera, question mark. And Jason's like, oh, that's when Jason responds, oh, you think Zach couldn't finish it? You don't think? He doesn't finish that sentence. He just says, you don't think? And he goes, oh, I don't know. You tell me. He's finished a version. And then Jason says, I mean, listen, man, next question. Now, the reason why I even wrote the article of saying he was playing coy, I mean, please describe another word or use another word to describe what he was doing in that instance, right? Now, I don't know the word for it. Yeah, I mean, unless you don't understand the word, he was being coy about everything. Now,
yeah, he was.
People, for whatever fucking reason, took that as a negative. I think I know the reason. It's just because I wrote it. Because all of a sudden, there was like fucking five other people that used that same goddamn word. And I didn't see anybody attacking them, calling them fucking traitors because they wrote the word coy in their article. Right? So now, I haven't talked to you about this, or maybe I have. Oh, well, some of us. Yeah, in our group chat. Now, when I heard that, and he didn't answer whether he had a finished version or not. Now, I can just tell you that it's not finished like you're thinking, or I am thinking finished. Like, visual effects are done, okay? I wish it was. And there's a reason why he said next question after hearing he's finished a version, okay? He's not gonna put a damper in our hype, okay? He's not going to say that. And if you were to answer that question...
Nor he's going to oversell something that probably is not 100% finished either.
Correct. So he's got two options if he answers that question. One, he can lie. And if things come out, then now his honesty and all that stuff, his morality is questioned now. Because he's lying, and he's lying about something how would Zach feel about that?
Listen, okay? At the same time, sorry that I cut you off, because remember that this is his livelihood. Mm-hmm. He loves this man. At the same time, he was very upfront about it, that he's very thankful to Warner Brothers for the opportunity that they gave him, because not only he's going to be Aquaman, now he's going to be in Dune. He got other projects too that the studio greenlit for him. So, you know, at the same time, you cannot bite the hand that feed you. So he could be putting them against the wall by saying something that he's not supposed to. So he got to navigate a fine line between being a good friend. Exactly. Between being a really good friend, loyal friend, and at the same time not fuck up his future and his livelihood.
And so he could either basically lie, or he could say no. Mm-hmm. And that would fucking derail everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he said no, regardless of what kind of state the cut is in, that would then put a nail in the coffin saying, no, it's not finished.
Yeah.
I love Zack Snyder and all of his films. Believe me, I love the man. He is my favorite director. Okay. But if I was put in the position of saying, does he have a finished version? I wouldn't want to fucking answer that question. Because I'm answering for him now. I can't answer that question. I don't know what the fuck.
I think that's the director who has the right to say that anyway.
Correct. Now, it was interesting that all of that hype, because this is the third piece of news that came out. So I was like, man, you know, and it's funny because everybody started to think, oh, well, that means he saw the finished version. Dude, we have no fucking idea when he saw the Snyder Cut, which technically he saw a version way fucking back in like the beginning of 2018. Okay. So. Mm-hmm. Who knows if he's seen a newer one than that? All I know is, regardless of whatever he has seen, it's similar to the one that I know of people that have seen. Mm-hmm. But what it did was it made me question something. So you remember our visual effects artist that I've talked to, that I have as a contact?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to get their thoughts on something. I wanted to find out something, because they obviously worked on Justice League, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd sent them an email and I asked them, on the scenes they had worked on Justice League, I said, hey, how long did it take you to complete, like, from beginning phase to it being done and ready to be shown in theaters? Said, how many, if any, people worked on it? You know, like roto, pre-viz, post-viz, etc., all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then my last question was, and could one person that may have knowledge with visual effects but doesn't do it for a career work on all the footage that needs to be completed if one had access to it all? Okay. Simple questions, right?
Right.
Now, would you like to know the answers?
I'm waiting.
All right. So they wanted to be a little bit more broad, right? They said not specific to any project, but universally, big visual effect shots take all sorts of different amounts of time because of the range of variables. Makes sense.
Okay.
I've knocked out a simple one-character shot in a week from start to final, but I've also heard of complex shots taking an entire year.
Shit.
Now, let me break that real quick. So you remember the shot of Superman, right? Superman firing his heat vision to Doomsday.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I think it's like a 12-second shot.
Yeah, he just like comes flying straight forward, yeah. Then he stops in midair and then shoots his laser, eye laser beams.
That shot alone took 7 to 8 months for the visual effects to complete it.
That thing is like 12 seconds.
I say that. No, I don't know if it's 12 seconds. I'm just saying, crazy. Like, that's how quick it is. It's quick.
It is. But
that little shot took 7 to 8 months.
Wow.
They said in performance feature animation, Disney, etc., the normal quota is about 3 seconds a week for finished animation.
Holy crap.
3 seconds a week. Okay.
3 seconds just to get like a perfect, completed, polished CGI animation. Shot, animation, whatever. 3 seconds.
I know.
Seconds,
that's what I'm saying. So listen.
A whole week.
That's 3 seconds a week. That's their quota. Wow. Visual effects seems a lot more varied than that. We often return to shots again and again as the production progresses, so it's very hard to estimate. Okay, so they answered that question. Next question, remember, was how many people? They said, how many people? No idea. That's an incredibly varied as well. Hundreds to thousands, as evidenced by the endlessly scrolling credits. Hundreds of people in many studios in multiple countries. It's hard to fathom. All right, so on my question of could one person really work on it from start to finish, because I was curious, essentially, you've heard of the Black Suit Edition, right? With Chris Dawson. And the Black Suit Edition for Justice League or whatever.
Yeah. Cause I remember that he announced that somebody's joining him to work on the effects because,
I think it was a while ago that he had announced it.
But yeah. That Black Suit Edition is taking forever. Imagine. So that's what I'm saying. Like,
He's by himself and he's doing this and he's putting in a lot of work. Don't get me wrong. It's 2 hours mm-hmm. long. I mean, or 2 years that he's been working on this now.
Yeah.
And
probably it's going to take him longer because it's only him and probably him and a couple of friends.
It is. And there's only so much that you could take, in one sitting. But here's the other thing, too, is that he is adding to these shots for the most part. Unless he's building them from scratch, he's adding more layers to these shots. Okay. He's not building it from the very, very beginning scratch. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So my artist said the expertise, or no, just a guess, but I would say one person could never execute a theatrical quality shot alone. The expertise and tools required would simply be too vast and varied and expensive. That said, if you check in with, they told me somebody, they may be able to give you an idea of what one person could accomplish. Now, when you think about that, right? Think about it from a visual effects artist standpoint. They know that one person to get something fully, fully ready for a lot of scenes would take an enormous amount of time. Let's just assume that, okay, the third act, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, maybe even 15 minutes.
Right.
Still needed massive, heavy work done. Do you think Zach, as he's working on his Army of the Dead, pre-production, shooting, and then now, post-production, do you think he's going to sit there and go, I'm going to devote a lot more time on Justice League right now to work on my visual effects?
Okay. No, especially when he has some other projects in line.
I know. He
that requires that not same a, amount he, of attention.
He's not a visual effects artist. Okay. Mm-hmm. He is a director. Now, granted, he could be working on it. He could have worked on it by all means, dude. I would watch the Snyder Cut if it was all previs or postvis. I don't give a shit. Like, I would love to see it, okay? But for anybody to think that he's been working on it, like, putting all this time, like, it takes a lot of time. I don't know if people realize that. But it's a long time to work on this thing, to get it perfected.
When you try to educate people on how these things really work, you've been negative.
Usually. I mean, anybody that wants to, be upset with the truth, that's fine. All I can do, I can show you the truth. I can't make you believe it. Okay? I can literally tell you everything that I know. you could still be mad because you don't want to believe it. That's fine. I'm misquoting or I'm saying something negative because I hate anything. I'm telling you because I feel like anybody that's listening to this needs to be informed. They need to have the proper information. Otherwise, you sound like a fucking idiot. If you're going, no, that's done. It's completed. He worked on it. It takes him an hour. It would take him an hour to do a shot. That's
the same rhetoric we've been hearing for the, you know, all along. And every time somebody says anything different than that, it's cast out like a leopard.
It is. I mean, it's crazy because, you know, there's so many gatekeepers in this fandom now that they're pushing everybody out.
I really don't give a fuck about anybody else.
I know. But they're pushing everybody out that has any kind of information. And it's like, all right, dude, if anybody, you guys want to be wrong.
Anybody that has any concisive or informative information that doesn't fit whatever else is saying or whoever these guys are, if it doesn't fit to that little group, then you are not.
Yeah, you've never been there. Yeah,
exactly. You've never done anything for it. So I really don't. I really don't.
But, you know, like I mentioned, I feel like our audience deserves to know the truth and to hear it and judge it. And again, I'm not sitting there going, you better fucking believe me. Otherwise, you're against me.
No, dude, it's not about
here,
that.
Dude, here's the information that I have. You can believe it or not. I'm not telling you that you have to 100% believe me. All I'm saying is that every single thing that I've ever said or spoken about has come out to be true. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, my history and everything that I've written about, exclusively or just announcements and all that, has been true. The Ben Affleck situation, the Justice League, the ending and all that stuff. All that stuff's come out, and it's true. I don't know. Like, if I was like, we got this covered, and I'm just blowing bullshit out of my ass, dude, every right to get pissed off at me. But every single thing that I've ever talked about has come out to be true. And that's why I'm telling anybody that's listening, I just want you guys to have the information. You don't have to believe me if you don't want to. But if you do, and you know how I am, you know that I'm going to fucking boast about it when it comes out to be true. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's just the way I am.
You got that gif.
Yeah, that gif. Dude. Yeah, like, come on, man. I got my gifts, and I'm ready for it.
You got your gifts locked and loaded.
Yeah, it's silly to me to think, and it's not a negative. Like, dude, like I'm saying, I don't give a shit what the Snyder Cut looks like. I will watch it.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm whatever temp music it has on there, I don't care. Just give it to me, man. I'll watch it. Now, moving on from all of that Snyder Cut stuff, slightly. The only option that I've been talking about, that I have literally said from day one, is that the perfect place to release the Snyder Cut would be HBO Max.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. We have always discussed that. That will be the perfect platform to put it out there.
A perfect platform. Now, they had this big kind of conference and all that stuff that we had talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And they started announcing all their shows and all that. And they announced a DC superhero high or something like that. Okay. They announced a Green Lantern TV show.
Yeah.
By Greg Berlanti.
Berlanti Universe, yeah. Well, you know, it's going to be HBO Max. So probably the budget is going to be bigger than I'm sure any other CW shows. So.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not going to talk shit until we
see something. Yeah. But I'm giving the benefit of the doubt because like people like to shit on those show. Me also.
Yeah. That's including me.
Yeah. Yeah. And those because I don't watch them. I watched the Flash first and second season and then turned to shit. I want to see the crossover Infinite Crisis event because I want to see Brandon Routh and the Kingdom Come costume and all that shit. Anyway, but yeah, I always never cared for any of those shows. Oh, and Arrow first two or three seasons were good and then it turned into shit too.
Probably. I haven't seen it, so I wouldn't know. But no,
they were pretty good.
They were announcing these shows and it was really cool to see HBO Max and all that. And, now, I'm more or less, because I'm already an HBO Go member, I think, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
and it's going to be the same price, $15. Cool. Works. But the cool thing about this that I actually enjoy is I'm going to have a history of all these films. You know what I mean? Like, just going back. Because sometimes I'm like, man, I want to watch this old film, and it's not streaming anywhere. It's not on Netflix, not on Amazon, on HBO, because HBO is only doing a certain amount of films.
Right.
But with HBO Max, I'm going to be able to access this vast library. You know, for instance, The Holy Grail, and I quote unquote, Citizen Kane. I've never seen that film.
Yeah.
Mainly because it's not streaming. I'm not going to fucking buy that. Like,
no.
I could download it, but I don't really want to.
Yeah. So, one thing. Go on.
Sorry. No. You go.
One thing. Let me just, because when I was watching it before this whole thing started about the HBO Max, because there was some, to me, like it felt like there was some brand confusion, because I'm like, okay, it's Warner Brothers, it's AT&T, what they call HBO Max.
Turner Classic Movies.
Exactly. So, and I was not taking them serious, but these streamers, I'm just serious, I was not taking them serious. But they are legit, man. After I watched the presentation, they have like 70 years history of movie making, Academy Awards. They have, they're gonna have TV content for adults, not adults, that kind of adult content, but meaning like they're gonna have The Sopranos, they're gonna have Game of Thrones, they're gonna have all those amazing shows that are part of HBO library. At the same time, they're gonna have Warner Brothers library. They're gonna have Nickelodeon. They're gonna have Sesame Street.
They're gonna have anime. You know,
they're gonna have a huge anime deal. That's major. That's put them like right up there. I don't know. I didn't think that we're gonna be this competitive.
And they're gonna have Friends. Which, all right, cool, great.
Friends was like the big deal that Netflix lost, and all of a sudden went to Hulu. Now Hulu's gonna lose it. Now it's gonna go to HBO Max, And this is what I was thinking of, like, this is they are for real. They are legit.
It's not just going to be like what we're used to right now, streaming wise. Like, there's a couple of movies on there and there's that. No, I mean, you're going to have 10,000? I think it said like 10,000 hours of original content.
Yes. And on top of that, the original content that they're going to put out and everything that comes out on HBO is going to be there. Dude, they.
And that's just HBO. Max,
that's exactly. So
that's not Netflix, and that's not Amazon.
That's not nothing to sneeze at, because they have a way better catalog right off the box, better than Amazon,
specifically with the classic films that they have, which is cool. Like I said, they're going to offer stuff that I haven't seen, only because I haven't had time or whatever. But I noticed that whenever I see it, like, all right, cool, man, I'll check it out. I'm not doing anything really, and so that's cool, and to see all of that stuff developing the way it is, I mean, it's going to be pretty pretty intense. I was a little surprised that they didn't announce any kind of I don't mean it this way, but I just like the original content as far as the movies and the films were concerned. There was nothing in it that I was like, all right, I was just like, kind of whatever.
Yeah, because this is a movie studio, so probably what they're gonna do, they're gonna continue to push their the movies on film and theaters, and then they're gonna get exclusive before it hits anywhere else on the streaming service, which is brilliant. I'm like, dude, that's what Disney Plus is gonna do, so why not do the same thing? Mm-hmm. And another thing is like with the Greg Berlanti universe, they are gonna build. Depending on how good this show is, because they just like Disney, they own DC, all DC properties. Yeah, I mean, every single one of them.
There is no Marvel situation where there's a couple of characters.
There's no Netflix and Disney back and forward between promoter and the guys at Disney. There's no drama. There's none of that drama. The only drama that we got is that. that, you know, the director's not allowed to do their work.
That, yeah. That was back in 2017, yeah.
Where they mess with their vision. But they own all those IPs, and they can do whatever they want. And, dude, the sky's the limit. So they can definitely be like a real, not a real contender, but they could be like at the top of they have a fair shot to dethrone the monster, which is Netflix right now. Because I was impressed, to be honest with you. I was like, whoa, this, because I was watching it and then I was like in and out. And then the next day when I actually watched a recap of everything and I saw the list, I'm like, whoa, this is fucking impressive. This is it's nothing to sneeze at. So
no, it's not. And, you know, it's funny because in the morning of that, the same day, we hear about the Blood Moon prequel as far as the Game of Thrones show is concerned. We hear that that's canceled, right?
Yeah.
And I remember hearing that. I was like, dude, what the fuck? Why is that canceled? You know what I mean? Like, I was surprised. Like, dude, they already took a film. They already took the pilot and all that. And you know, but as long as it was going to be a Game of Thrones prequel, I was like, dude, I'm down for it. I don't care really what it was. But I remember when it first came out, I had said, hey, you know, I appreciate the long night or whatever. But for me, I would prefer if we had gotten like Aegon's conquest. That's just me. I threw it out there like, yeah, sure. It was like in December last year.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, HBO Max, they end the show with, oh, yeah, we're going to be having a Game of Thrones prequel. It's called House of the Dragon. Talking about Aegon's conquest all the way up leading up to the Dance of Dragons, which is the Civil War of the Targaryens.
Yeah, the Targaryen.
Dude.
The Targaryen Wars. That's telling you, man. I mean, there's still a sour taste in everybody's mouth that the way that Game of Thrones ended. But trust me, everybody's going to be glued to the TV to watch this show because they probably want some type of redemption from what they got on the last, on the eighth season.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be co-produced by, or not co-produced, co-show run by Miguel Shapotnik, who directed the best fucking episodes pretty much every single time for Game of Thrones.
That was a seventh episode. That was one of my favorite episodes of all time. It was beautifully shot, man.
So, I mean, he knows what he's doing. There's as far as the director is concerned, I mean, he's familiar enough with these characters. Plus, he's going to have George R. R. Martin helping out. And I think it's going to be un-fucking real. Like, this show is probably... I have a feeling that this show probably will supersede Game of Thrones as far as popularity is concerned, mainly because it's a history.
That's ambitious.
Because here's the reason why. Because of the way Game of Thrones ended, because of the way it felt rushed, the way it felt, all that stuff to get to an ending that nobody knew. Nobody knew how the end was. Everybody knows.
I can see the show redeeming itself from the eighth season. I don't know if it's going to surpass the characters.
Well, I say that as in it's because we know this history. Like we know this history, but we only know like segments of it. You know what I mean?
You know why I'm cautioning, why I'm not as optimistic as you are? And maybe that's just me because I'm jaded from, you know, prequels. Because I heard the exact same thing before the Star Wars prequels started, you know, before they came out. I remember, oh, this is going to give us a good understanding of what the Force is, what this, and like, it was total shit. So it completely ruined Star Wars for me for a very long time. So, you know, that's why I'm like, you know what, pump your brakes. Let's watch one or two episodes, and then we can start celebrating.
I get it. Hey, that works. But, you know, I think there's a reason why they greenlit that fucking show without shooting a pilot. They were like, yep, let's do it. Now, I don't know what that means, but speaking of Game of Thrones ending badly, which these guys get too much flack, I think, okay? Because those first six fucking seasons of Game of Thrones, shut your fucking mouth if you're going to say that was trash, okay?
No.
They were responsible for it. Okay, it's not like somebody else was doing it and they came in for season 7 and 8, okay?
Right.
Which technically even season 7 was great. It felt rushed, obviously, but it didn't feel as rushed as 8, but still.
I like 7. I really enjoyed 7.
But Dan and DB Weiss. Okay, so you know how they had a Star Wars film coming out, right? Or they were going to work on some Star Wars stuff.
The key word is had.
I know. So it got announced last year that they were working on a trilogy of sorts, and technically we didn't know anything about it. I was thinking it was going to be like Knights of the Old Republic.
That's what I thought too. I was like, oh man, I hope they do.
That'd be fucking perfect. Well, comes out that they were actually going to do the origin of how the Jedi became the Jedi, which still would have been great.
So, yeah,
but they ended up walking away.
Yeah, behind that.
Yeah, they left due to not left? Having. Yeah, I know. I'm using okay. the word as whatever. They said their commitment to Netflix. They didn't want to be tied up, both of them, right? The only issue with that is, you know, they signed that Netflix deal after they'd gotten the Star Wars stuff. So,
one of the arguments is that they already had that deal with Netflix, and then they were about to do this with Disney. Now there's a conflict of interest because Disney has their own streaming service. Now they're going to have a player that's going to be making money for them and going to be making money for the competitor. But there's also a bit of news that came out that said that they met with George Lucas and...
Yeah, they were going to go back to how George was doing things.
Yeah, and
they didn't like it.
They didn't like one single bit. So take that with a grain of salt or whatever it is that you want to take away. But I mean, we don't know the real facts. We're just reporting what we got from the trades.
Yeah,
this is what the trades are reporting. So,
and it's insane to see that because I think
it is.
I think Rian Johnson's also out too. I think he's just floating there.
Yeah, he's nowhere near anything related to to Star Wars. I don't think they allow him like 100 miles away from Disney Studios.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with the future of the films coming out after the saga of the Rise of Skywalker, but...
Yeah, we'll see how it goes next month. So. Well, I got my tickets, by the way. I got good seats too on my birthday. Bam. Oh,
congratulations, man.
Thank you, sir. On the 20th, well, it's on the 20th, a day before my birthday. Oh, that's my birthday gift.
Well, I got it on the 20th, too.
Okay, cool.
I got the 20th is a Friday?
It's a Saturday, yeah.
Saturday? Okay, then I got it on the 19th on accident. I got both of them, but anyways. So, real quick, I know you haven't seen it, and it takes some time. I saw Terminator Dark Fate yesterday.
All right. So, and without spoiling it, was it good?
Obviously. I'm not going to spoil it.
Okay.
But, dude, that was a fucking great film. I enjoyed really? A lot of it. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Nah, I got to watch it.
Yeah, I don't know why people are I don't know. I haven't really been paying attention to it, really, as far as the chatter and what everybody's saying or thinking about and all that. I just went and enjoyed it. Me and Avery, dude, we fucking loved that film. Like, it was action-packed, dude. Like, it just kept going. And Junkie killed it in the score. Visual effects, I didn't mind him. The action, though, was fucking legit.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah, dude. I was like,
I'll check it out because I think I've seen them all.
That was the other thing, too, is I haven't seen a Terminator film in theaters.
Oh, okay.
Because back T2 came out in 91. I was too young. I didn't go see it.
Okay.
And the other Terminators, I just saw at home. I never really saw them in theaters.
The last one I saw in theaters was the one with Christian Bale.
Genesis? Terminator Genesis. Genocide? Yeah, Genesis.
Whatever.
So
yeah, I saw that one. That was decent. That could have been better though. But I saw that one.
It could have been.
I saw that girl. Yeah. The one with the girl from Homeland. I don't remember the name of that one. But I was like a big Terminator fan. So
that was Terminator 3, wasn't it? Yeah.
I think so. I think it was 3.
The blonde.
3. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you had the Terminator with
and then one, Amelia and Clark. I also saw the one with Emilia. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I saw that one. That was awful. Shit, that was awful. I just completely blacked that one out of my mind. Like, yeah.
So watching this film, I mean, dude, it's a fucking direct sequel to T2. Like, there's no in between. Like, this is fucking set. And, you know, I enjoyed it. And I was curious. I was like, damn, dude, what the fuck are they going to do? Like, how are they going to do this? And it was, It was entertaining. It was action-packed. It was fast-paced. I didn't have a problem with the way it was edited. I thoroughly enjoyed the hell out of it. I would suggest, if you are on the fence about seeing it, go see it for yourself.
Okay. Yeah, I was never on the fence. Not even because everybody's talking about how bad it underperformed. I was still planning to see it. Yeah. Probably going to see it. Probably see it tomorrow. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Yeah, free popcorn Tuesdays. <That's funny. laughs> Probably go see it tomorrow.
Yeah, I would say do it, man. I think you're going to enjoy it and have a good time. And it definitely, you know that they were planning on possibly continuing some more stuff, but. I mean, obviously, with the box office thing, they're not.
Yeah, that's not. I don't see that happen anytime soon.
The fucking Gestapo, Disney, they're not going to allow that shit.
No, I don't. I mean, the movie was directed by the same guy from Deadpool, the first one, right?
Yeah, Tim Miller.
Tim Miller, yeah, and Tim Miller has the best. I don't know if you want to call it cutaways scene or Justice League, and that was DC Online. I don't know if you've seen that, but that shit was like, it's beautiful. Anyway, so I think the director of the first one and second one, well, I'm having a mental block. Avatar.
James Cameron?
James Cameron, holy
wow.
Yeah, I know. So I think James Cameron should have been more at the forefront of that marketing, because people see him and he's synonymous with great freaking films. Even though the director is Tim Miller, and I know that would kind of take away from his thunder, but him try to take a backseat, I think you heard the movie. Like, he should have been more up the forefront. Yeah, he directed the movie, but this is a movie that I'm overseeing, I'm producing, I'm very involved in. Probably people would have gravitated mm-hmm. towards it.
And I think it's the same thing with Alita.
Look what happened to Alita.
Mm-hmm.
Alita was a movie that was produced by him, directed by Rodriguez. And your hometown hero. Yeah, and
my buddy.
And he did suffer because... at the box office, because maybe if he would have been more vocal, more on the forefront that he was involved in that movie, probably would have gotten more seats in the more butts in the seats, because people love to go see his movie.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a missed opportunity, I feel.
I mean, yeah.
But I'm still gonna go watch it tomorrow. Anyway, tomorrow.
And that was, you know, and that's the thing too, is like both of them he produced and they just, you know, didn't do well at the box office.
Didn't do well, yeah.
And
those are good original stories. I mean, Alita, that's the thing. Alita, man.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's like they're original, not original, but you know, they're
not
they're
original,
but
you know what I mean. Something fresh, something different.
Yeah,
something
it's not away a comic from book. The.
Exactly.
Speaking of, real quick, Joker hitting a billion in like 8 days. Huh?
It's about to hit a billion.
That's
fine. John Garza emoji right now. I mean, GIF. Make sure that you play it. I told you I'm always going to make bonkers. I knew that one was going to make. I never thought I was going to make a billion.
I never thought
in my wildest dream thought it was going to hit a billion. I always thought it was going to hit 6, 7.
No, not even. I was thinking maybe 500. I was like, dude, that's
yeah,
good.
I was
that's
in the 6, 7 range.
Film.
I didn't think that I was going to reach, because I think the first It movie reached 800, close to 9. And I thought, I was like, no, it's not going to be that movie. But, man, this movie is like, has a motor on it. It's unstoppable.
Fucking nuts, man.
Yeah.
Well. Nothing you can do about it.
Even though they split into three ways, they're still making a lot of money.
Yeah, they're still making money. I mean, I'm just laughing at Warner Brothers because they're fucking morons. But
oh yeah, there's still money to be made with the streaming, digital downloads. They make their money back.
That's awesome. Now,
anyway,
last but not least, the last thing I want to talk about, which you haven't seen the third episode of Watchmen, and we haven't even talked about the second episode of Watchmen.
No. I haven't. Now, I'm going to watch it right after we finish recording tonight.
Now, the second episode, this is a spoiler if you haven't seen it for whatever reason. The second episode, remember how we were talking about the American Hero story being a homage to Zack Snyder?
Yes.
And I was telling you about it, you know, maybe it needed some more slow motion action and all that, just the show and in general.
It's like they heard you talking shit.
I know. They literally heard me talking shit. Because what happened, remember I even mentioned, I said, I just like the comedian getting thrown into the glass, right?
Yeah, like something like, some kind of homage. Give it time.
And all of a sudden, boom. We see the American Hero story as literally, I know that Lyadolov said he'd like kind of base it on American Hero story or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's great. Or not American Hero story, American Horror story.
Yeah.
And that's cool. But regardless, it looks like a Zack Snyder film. So, I mean, whether it's intentional or unintentional, it's a homage to me.
It felt like that, especially like the part when he just jumped through the windows. Like, whoa.
He breaks through the glass. Yeah, it's slow motion. He throws a can and it bounces off, you know, like the comedian and all that. And then, I mean, he breaks an arm.
Yeah, it's like when he's like punching him in the face. Like when I saw that, I was like, let me text John. I guess you got your violence.
And so I'm like, dude, this is going to be a cool little story within a story to really get a different feel for the actual show of Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Because holy shit, dude, that second episode, I mean, how am I supposed to react to Judd being and what she finds in the closet of a fucking Ku Klux Klan robe?
Yeah, that was, you know, I knew that there was something there, that he has something to hide.
But the
thing is, like, it hasn't been explained. Man, it hasn't been explained if it's his or his father's, and he's like respectful of his father, and he's changed his ways. But at the same time, you know what? Like, it's too much to read into that. Like, this show so far has made me feel that you really don't know what's going on, and I like that.
Well, just, buddy, wait till the third episode. Let me just tell you that much.
Really? Oh, man.
Now, the insane thing about episode two that happens is that we're not really sure what that means. Because what's his name? Will. He tells Angela Abar, hey, you know, he's got skeletons in the closet. So she goes and checks.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, she finds out that she's actually the granddaughter of Will. So now she's got this history.
I knew it when she was trying to do the DNA. I was like, oh, she's related.
I mean, sure. I mean, it could have been that obvious. And then all of a sudden, she arrests him and he fucking gets taken up by this alien ship.
Yeah. Well, anyways. Shit. Is it an alien ship? You know something I don't know? Are you spoiling the shit out of the fucking third episode?
No, episode two.
Yeah, I know, but you saw third episode, but I don't know if it was an alien ship.
There's nothing in the third. Come on, dude.
Okay.
No, we still don't know. We don't know what the fuck it is.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I assume it's an alien ship because it's magnet. You know, it's. He said, "I have friends in high places."
I think he has
fucking alien ship.
He has friends, German friends, apparently.
You think?
I mean, that's why. That's what he's letting you to believe, that he has some German friends. Because at the beginning of the show, they start off with
the letters.
With all the German, you know, giving all this campaign about, you know, turn back. In America, they treat you like this, like that. And here we're going to treat you, which is not accurate. If you read history, Germans were far worse to blacks or a minority in their during those times.
And they may have, but that letter was actually real.
Yeah, no, it was. Because it was propaganda.
Yeah, and they were just trying to sway them.
To deter African-Americans from joining the war.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you're right, that was an actual letter. But I think they're using that to tell a story. I don't know if you're familiar with that show Turn, where the German actually win the war and we lose and we end up talking Russian.
So I think Man in a High Castle.
Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry, I got the wrong English.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that they're going with that a little bit, where the where he's actually working with Germans when the Germans actually not the bad guys. Well, you know,
well, just no, for no, the you argument. Got, you got to remember that that was his father that was in that army.
No, I know, and that's...
And the boy doesn't know what he doesn't
And they're
going to
explain a little bit. But I think this like easing you into that story because the thing is like, okay, this already setting up. They're doing some exposition by giving you this this piece of letter where he picks it up and he reads it. Now he's probably going to try to find out if they're really really who they are, if they are who they really saying. And maybe they really are just for the sake of the show. And that's what he becomes like this connected to this German occult or whatever, or society or spy agency. Who knows? But it's he the Omen seems to be connected all the way to kind of swear. But he knows stuff that I'm really waiting to hear.
I know. And, you know, we get to the whole, like I mentioned, like seeing that clan suit. I was like, fuck, like, what does that, what does that mean? And then we get to fucking Adrian Veidt, you know, just, he was in his, remember I told you, like, if you remember when I had said that his two, you know, servants were going to be in his play, I had mentioned something. I was like, dude, from knowing from how Adrian Veidt is, you know, in the comic and stuff, I don't see a happy ending for those two servants, right? Now,
no.
Check this out. Check out how fucking observant Avery was. So we're watching that episode, right. And she sees it, and she, the moment she sees them, she goes, why are they dressed like Manhattan and Janie? And I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, she picked on that quick.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When he's talking to them, like he's, you know, they're going on with the song. He's like, oh, hurry up, hurry up. And she goes, why are they dressed like Manhattan? And right before he becomes Manhattan and Janie. And I was like, wow.
Because there's nothing. That.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you notice it. If you were to watch it right now, you'd be like, oh, shit.
Now,
okay,
now I'm going to notice when I see it.
But she noticed it right off the bat. So I was like, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden she goes, oh, is he going to have, is that what the play is? Like whenever he becomes Dr. Manhattan, are they going to, you know, and she started going off and I was like, what the fuck? How did you pick up that dude? Like it was genius. But then we learned that he literally sets his servant on fucking fire.
On fire. And that's, I was looking to my boy. I was like, yo, those are clones.
Well, right. As soon as that happened, I was like, oh my goodness.
And for a minute, I could have sworn that it was you that I was talking to, but it was like my friend, my buddy, Jason, I was talking to her. I was like, no, man, they are clones. Trust me, because he likes to dabble with genetics. Remember that he had a liger in his lab? So maybe that's what it is.
He figured out how to make clones.
How to clone people. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's fascinating that that's what happens. Because we're just seeing it, and I'm like, okay, so, all right, so we know that the clones are technically existing in this world. Mm-hmm. We have something alien. I'm saying aliens. I don't know. Something picked up the old man, Will. We got the Ku Klux Klan for whatever reason.
Mm.
We have Angela kind of on edge about being suspected about, you know, killing him or being involved with him, right. The death of Judd. And so all this shit is going on. Like I said, wait till fucking episode 3. You're going to be like, holy shit, man. Dude. Like there's so much in these first 3 episodes. You're like, dude,
really?
Yeah. Because they're giving it to you piece by piece. But this third episode, like, dude, it really does tie back to the comics. I'll say that much. It ties back to the comics in this episode. Yeah.
All right. So that's a show for tonight, guys. Because now I want to go see it.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll say that. We'll end it that way. Like, dude, it's definitely, you're going to be like, oh, shit. I mean, it definitely ties to the comics more than the movies, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. With how...
We're going to have a month... multi-dimensional squid, giant squid jump into the scene or something?
No, come on.
Oh, okay.
Put you on the right track.
No, <it's>, wait.
but anyways, yeah. Anyway. So that's the show. Mm. We'll end it there.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So that's pretty much it for tonight, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So remember, guys. The show is gonna take a bit of a step back. We're gonna do it once or twice a month. But you're gonna see our ugly faces more often now because we're gonna be doing bits, whatever comes during the week, and we're gonna put it out there so that way you guys get informed and directly from us and get our raw opinions or ideas or how we feel about this whatever information or piece of news that comes out. Mm-hmm. And it's either gonna be John or me, or we're gonna fight over it, or we're gonna toss a coin. I don't know. It depends. Maybe. it all depends. But it's just a way to give you more content and keep you more engaged. That's mm-hmm. all it is. Is you guys are gonna benefit from it, for sure.
Absolutely.
So always make sure to hit like, subscribe. Leave a comment below. We know we always reply to your nonsense. we love to talk to you guys. And if there's something that you guys want us to talk about, leave a comment below and we'll bring it up in one of the future episodes too. Always follow the mother page, realanarchy.com, on social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Vero. And you, John, where they can find you, man.
And if you wanted to, you could follow me on Twitter at Sir as in a Knight, S-E-R, _ John, J-O-N, _ Aaron, A-R-R-Y-N. And of course, that's for Game of Thrones, which, like I mentioned, I'm just so fucking hyped for House of Blood. Like, dude, or House of the Dragon. Oh, yeah. I mean.
That's going to be epic. I hope they redeem themselves. I think they're going to redeem themselves.
I think they will, too. The only way that I will be disappointed in anything. And this is serious. Like, I'm dead fucking serious. If they don't bring back Ramin Djawadi, if they don't bring him back for the score,
see why wouldn't they.
I don't know why they wouldn't either. But
I don't see why wouldn't they. I think he'll come back.
I hope. I hope that they do that right, because his scores for any theme, I mean, it's just so memorable.
He could pick up the essence, the soul of the show, and put it into music mm-hmm. and keep that kind of cohesiveness with the show that we already saw, bring it back to the prequels. So.
Right, and the other thing, the reason why I say that is because if somebody else were to do that score, they better fucking honor the Targaryen, you know, any other themes that were there, because that's important. We heard that for fucking 8 seasons. You know what I mean? You can't just come in and be a fucking Danny Elfman and create your own fucking thing because fuck those other seasons and films that had this main theme. No.
Yeah, you have to pay homage.
Yeah, just leave it there. Don't fuck this up, okay?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Don't Danny Elfman the fucking shit.
Don't Danny Elfman or Dee Dee. Don't fucking do it, okay? Yeah. But until then, guys, thank you all for listening and, you know, interacting with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Till next time.
Have a good night.
The most hazardous and dangerous and greatest adventure of which man has ever embarked.